Hey, wonderfuls, welcome to episode 347 of the podcast with my guest, Lily May, musician extraordinaire. I hope you enjoy the episode. I hope everyone's doing well and looking forward to a wonderful Halloween for those of you who celebrate the holiday and are listening to this on Thursday the 31st when this particular episode comes out. May I just say, may all your candy be edible if you so desire. Enjoy the episode. How are you? You're in the midst, like you're in the thick of it, recording, yeah?
Yeah, no, recording on different projects, just, you know, stuff for fun, or I recorded on a gospel album this week, but...
Oh, nice.
I'm not recording any new music currently, but I was just out on the road for, like, almost a month, so I've been home for a short spell, so...
Gotcha. Just,
so there's that, but nothing crazy.
Oh, gotcha. I think when Greg was saying that you were working, I think I thought you were in the studio, but that makes more sense that you were out on the road on tour and stuff.
Yeah. We do a lot of studio stuff though.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to relax a little? You said you've kind of just got back. Or how long does it take for you to sort of, get back into the groove?
Well, as soon as I got home, Nashville has just the worst allergies ever right now. So I've just been like, I swear, I waited all month to get sick. When you're out and you're in something and you just can't afford. So as soon as I got home, it just hit like a freight train. So I've just been doing that. But we had a show the other day at a local venue, and it was a hometown show, and it was really fun. So that was cool. But downtime, which, so I will do some recording for fun and stuff, probably.
Nice.
Writing a little bit.
When you're out on tour and stuff, is that, do you get into kind of the mode of just doing that, or do you find that like your process is that you sort of have, you know, kind of weird downtime where maybe you're kind of tired but kind of awake and you are struck with ideas for writing? Or do you kind of have like, I'm in this mode, I'm not necessarily going to be sitting down to do some writing while I'm in the middle of doing this exhausting, you know, tour?
It's always different. I wrote a couple things on that last tour. The last tour I was playing fiddle with and opening for Robert Plant. So it was a little different. So it wasn't our normal go out and, you know, open shows or whatever. It was a little different. I had a lot of material to work on for his band.
Oh, sure.
So I was just kind of a wreck and just trying really hard to focus on his music.
So when you say you were a wreck, was it the sort of like, was it just the sense of nervousness of, you know, this is Robert Plant we're talking about here? And, you know, yes, I'm working with him. So clearly, you know, I deserve to be, but sometimes the little voice in your head is like, yeah, but do you, which is very normal.
Right. Right. I just certainly don't feel deserving of it. You know, I feel very lucky to have been there and I'm glad I got to be a part of that and be around such cool, amazing, and unique and talented people. But definitely a lot of pressure for me. And also, like, I always, like, everything musically that I do is by ear. So, like, you know, as far as like learning songs and learning parts and everything, I don't have a good way of doing that, because of everything is so modern and technical, and you just get sent files from England, you know? So it's like, cool, everything, all the material and everything that I'm working on is in a file that I could barely even open.
Oh, no.
So, you know, I'm like, if I, so that's where like my struggles are or were always, and that's kind of it's my own fault for not being technically savvy, but it hinders your ability to like just like hammer shit out, like you know, like most musicians that I work with or play with or whatever, like everybody reads charts, or like, you know, it's just like that's like easy. If you just read plug, you can just write down on whatever bar you're, and I'm like, right. I don't even, I'm so lost. So I just like listen and memorize stuff. And anyway, it just, that's, I made myself sick just like in fear that I wasn't, you know, going to do a good enough job. And thankfully, like, it finally calmed down and like, you know, just had a great time. But
oh, good. Oh, I'm glad you gave yourself that opportunity. Yeah. No, I mean, that's like, I had to learn sheet music, you know, very early when I was taking piano lessons that I don't even remember, as many kids don't remember ever saying I wanted to do. They just were happening all of a sudden. And then that I didn't stick with, you know, and that, but then I was learning guitar when I was in fifth grade. And so I had to read, you know, sheet music for classical guitar, but that is so what has stayed in my mind is just enough for me to be able to, once I kind of know the song, it, like, I'm not necessarily identifying the notes as like, okay, and that's an E flat, and then we jump to a C. It's more just like, oh yeah, the music goes down here. Like,
right.
It's sort of, it's like a little bit of a cheat sheet, but it is certainly not, you know, reading a chart in any kind of like legit way.
Right.
So I totally relate. I absolutely relate. It's, and I think, you know, for me, the block is kind of like, for me, the block, and tell me if there's any part of this that kind of you connect with is that I'm so sunken deep into like, that's how I learn and that's how I perform, that I've just like kind of given up on the idea of being like a technical reader. Like I'm sort of at the age now where I'm like, no, this is my process. Is it broken? Absolutely.
Right.
Does it super stress me out? Yes. But like, this is what's got me to this point. So I don't want to break it and then like potentially lose some other characteristic that is positive of my process, you know?
Right.
Ay. Well, you started playing so young. Yeah. Did you started playing young, and if you had a natural talent for it, then, you know, that's kind of a different situation than having to like plod through not being good and really having to hammer out sheet music and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, the rest of my siblings, like, or not the rest of them, but most of them, they could read music and they took classical lessons, and they all do the numbers and charts and all that stuff, and like, there's no telling why I didn't pick up on it. I'm like, why didn't I get that? Because, like, surely it could be beneficial, especially, like, when you're playing with so many people. If you're playing, like, Nashville gigs where you're just, like, playing with people that you've never played with before. And so my sister will be, like, on mandolin, she'll just, like, you know, go to the bass player. She'll just be, like, 1, 4, 5, you know,
oh boy,
seven major, you know, she just like, she'll either hold up the numbers on her hand, like quickly in between, you know, just like, and it's like, you can play with people that have never even heard the songs before.
Wow.
Which is crazy, but like, it's a thing, you know, but like, not me.
Where do you fall in? Are you like a middle child? Are you oldest? Are you youngest? Where do you fall in your family's?
Last of the line.
Mm-hmm. The baby.
Yes.
Well, there's your answer. The baby didn't have to learn music. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, totally.
Listen, you could have said anything, and I'm sure I could have justified
you not
reading
sheet
music. We get
away with a lot, right?
Yeah, you could be like, I'm the oldest, and I'd be like, well, there you go. You knew something, and then the kids had to follow in your footsteps, so they had to read sheet music. Like, it's all bullshit. But
that's so funny.
But that's, I mean, that's really, well, you know what? Let's put it even to a little more context. Where did you grow up, and could you tell us a little bit more about your family of musicians?
Yes, my family has been in Nashville for 20 years in January. Before that, we lived in North Carolina, and before that was South Carolina. Before that was Branson, Missouri, and South Texas. So we got our start in Branson. We lived in a motorhome we lived in South Texas like 6 months every year, 6 months out of the year. So, but we always traveled around. I was born in Northern Illinois, but my family left when I was one. So we've just, you know, Nashville mostly.
The mystique of Branson is so different that, like, I feel like Nashville is kind of understood by people even who haven't been there, you know, as being this, you know, just kind of like bastion of amazing music composition and recording and as much as, you know, like country western music it may be associated with it, there's so much stuff that comes out of there that is, you know, to from hip hop to folk to bluegrass to, and whereas Branson, I think, has this, you know, weird iconic place for so many people where, like me, I've never been there. I only have an image of it in my mind as pertains to like the sort of, you know, idea of it being family entertainment, like the Vegas of families or whatever that saying is.
Totally.
That it sounds like it's a real scene, and it from what I hear, it really does sound like there's no other place like it in America. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. I was going to ask you if you'd been, from the sounds of it, sounds like you've been there.
Hi, listen, I gotta go there. I'm really bad about it.
Yeah, man, you should go.
I gotta go.
I always want to go for Christmas because they have like these crazy Christmas, they just really deck it out for Christmas.
I thought you were going to say like, deck the halls, which I was very comfortable with.
Right.
They really deck them.
Right.
I bet they do. I bet that's Christmas paradise.
It really is. They go all out. And we grew up like, we would play at the mall. So we played at the Branson Mall. Like, we would play outside of it and stuff like.
Like busking?
So
like a setup gig.
Totally.
That's amazing.
There was a couple of theaters, Mutton Hollow. It's not there anymore. It's something else now. Yeah, we got started there, and we had like our own theater. You know, like Branson is like, oh my gosh, it really is such a unique place. But also just like, I mean, like for people like my dad or something, like who's starting out a family band, a bunch of kids who can barely play and sing, and like, they're like, where do you get in him? And my dad, who never even thought about like, oh, this place isn't appropriate for kids. Like, he would never think that. He was just thinking gigs.
Sure.
You know, like just anything. But like places like that, like now that I'm, you know, grown, I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, who's going to go see a bunch of freaking 3-year-olds, 5-year-olds and 7-year-olds? It's so weird to think about. But like, I'm, you know, grateful the way it all happened. But like, you know, so like, yeah, Branson really, it is a very unique place where there is an atmosphere for like family bands and stuff. So we really lucked out by being there, I think.
Yeah. I'm actually very sad to hear that a place called Mutton Hollow has closed down. That's it's pretty great name. R.I.P.
Right.
Mutton Hollow.
Right.
So was your experience moving around so much? I mean, I guess I don't know how often you were moving, but obviously you named a lot of places.
I mean, we lived in the motorhome for sure. So we, like, you know, some years we were in a different place every day. Like, or, you know, even if we were in Texas or something, like, we were all over the place. And we played, you know, a lot of bluegrass festivals. But we also, like, we played a different church. Like, we would play a different church every Sunday, basically, or whenever if we could get that many bookings, you know. So we would play a church somewhere in the country Sunday morning, then play a different one Sunday night, maybe play a different church Wednesday, and then a different one Sunday. So we just, like, we traveled so much. But mostly, like, we didn't hit, like, the West Coast till, you know, far later. So it was just, like, you know, Omaha. There's a lot of places, a lot of, like, festivals, bluegrass festivals or, like, family festivals. A lot of places you could play in, like, Nebraska, Iowa, Texas, loads of places. You play loads of, like, we grew up playing RV parks, the rec halls, recreation halls at RV parks. It was, like, cool. It was an activity for people who lived there to get out and go to the rec hall and see a family band play. You know, it's like there's a huge market for that in Texas, which is just crazy.
Gosh, that's so, it really is the whole, that there's when you're involved in something that's so specific and it's normal to you because it's kind of all you've ever known, it must be so. Even when you were little, were you meeting people along the way who were sort of like, wow, I can't believe you guys do this. Like, you know, this isn't quote unquote normal, whatever that actually means.
Yeah. I think, you know, definitely like we had it together enough that it seemed like, you know, it was going all right. Like, you know, musically or whatever, everyone could play and everyone, like, you know, we were, you know, it was hokey. It was a hokey joke now looking back. But, like, musically and everything, like, we were all right. We weren't bad.
What if you, I mean, I guess your dad really lucked out. Like, he must have really just had the sense that that was going to work out, because how sad.
He did, man. He's a bold person, and he's a big personality, and he did luck out, because, like, he doesn't sing or anything. He plays bass. He's an upright bass player, but he's a real, like, showman.
Yeah.
You know, he really did luck out that all his kids could just naturally play. I mean, he definitely, like, made it happen. And, like, everyone, like, had to. We were forced to. It wasn't like, oh, I want to play this. It was like, yeah, you are going to be the band. But, like, everyone had natural talent, which was, he really did luck out. But I think, like, you know, there were times where, like, you know, like, people would definitely, like, situations would happen where, like, people, like, would be like, what's going on? There's no, you know, people, if you looked a little too close, then we would probably just roll to the next town. You know?
Oh, interesting. Like, why aren't these kids in school? What's happening?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Nobody was enrolled in school. Nobody was registered.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, we didn't even have birth certificates till my oldest sister had to get her license. So it was just a bunch of, like,
whoa, that's amazing.
But also my dad got away with it because I think they probably were easier back then on, like, schooling stuff. Like, nobody was ever registered in anything. So, like, we were always okay. But, like, there were some, you know, you would encounter some people that would, you know, there was different, like, people called child services on us, like, growing up, like, probably several times. One time we had a pet pig that lived in the motorhome with us. And, like, people called child services thinking that we were getting abused because that thing was squealing like crazy.
Oh, no.
And, like,
oh, no.
You know, like, it was just like, no, it's just a pig, you know. But, like, he ended up, we again gave him back to the people that we got him from, and they, like, he ended up getting, like, ticks and fleas.
Aww.
Along with, like, these people's, like, dog. They had, like, a litter of dogs.
Sure.
And they just put them all in a bag, tied them up, and threw them in the Arroyo.
No.
Because they thought they had, like, some disease, but really they just had ticks and fleas.
Oh,
it was like,
no.
Okay, cool. We should have kept the damn pig.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. That in and of itself is, like, a sad song. I hope there's a song out there about your poor pig.
I know. I always think about that pig, that poor pig.
What was the pig's name? I don't know why I'm making myself more sad by finding out its name. That's only going to make it worse.
I can't remember.
Okay, it's probably for the best.
Yeah.
It's probably for the best.
I remember the deer's name, but I don't remember the pig.
Uh-oh.
We had a skunk. We had a pet skunk, Larkin. We had a deer. My sister saved a baby deer one time, and we kept it for a long time.
While you're moving around, you have a full-size deer?
Yes. It was crazy. So we lived in a 35-foot motorhome, 7 people. How many animals? You know, German shepherds, cats, birds, hamsters, dogs. Pigs. It was nuts.
I mean, I naturally, of course, would have assumed that pets would be off the table since you guys were moving around so much, and I am dead wrong.
We always had them, but they were always very well behaved. You know, it wasn't like they were run loose. We were all very well behaved.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, we're gonna take a break. I will be back after a word from our wonderful buddies at Maximum Fun.
This is Amy Mann.
And I'm Ted Leo.
And we have a podcast called The Art of Process.
We've been lucky enough over the past year to talk to some of our friends and acquaintances from across the creative spectrum to find out how they actually work.
And so I have to write material that makes sense and makes people laugh. I also have to think about what I'm saying to people.
If I kick your ass, I'll make you famous.
The fight to get LGBTQ representation in the show.
We weirdly don't know as many musicians as you would expect.
I really just became a political speechwriter by accident.
accident of realizing that I have accidentally pulled my pants down.
Listen and subscribe at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcast.
It's like if the guinea pig was complicit in helping the scientist.
Was there a sense of, you know, we're very special in this way, or we're special in the way that many of these families are special, which is that we're sort of living off the grid in a very real way if you didn't have birth certificates and stuff. And
totally.
and what an interesting story that is. You know,
my dad was always afraid of the end of the world, you know? He was like, they're not going to get us, you know?
Does that have a religious connotation to it as well? Because I wanted to ask you about the churches that you guys were playing.
We played anything. We really did. Any religion. Like, we ended up, like, there was one, you know, there were a couple, like, we would visit, like, African-American churches. We would visit Spanish churches, like, Mexican churches, like, especially in Texas. You know, like, we visited and performed at and went to loads of different types of stuff. So, like, I feel like in ways, like, we had it, like, so cool because, like, we got to see that stuff and, like, that's, like, amazing, you know, the way, like, some people worship, you know, their leader as opposed to others. That's, like, way better and cooler and more fun and real. And but no, like, we weren't, like, a certain of, you know, like, I guess, like, people would say, like, Baptist or Southern Baptist. We were just, like, super strict. But because my dad was always just chasing the gig, it didn't matter what it was. It was like it could have been Catholic or Pentecostal or whatever.
Yeah. How was he finding out about these gigs?
You know, I don't know, man. I mean, I really don't. Like, well, I mean, sometimes, like, we would look in, we would have phone books and, like, we would call. My sister Scarlett was, like, she booked the band. She was 9 years old. She did all the bookings, basically. She booked bluegrass festivals, the gigs. Like, you know, it's like you'd luck out and, like, some gigs were better and, you know, you'd have, like, actual, like, promoters and stuff, or, like, you'd have, you know, word of mouth, like, or, like, you'd played them before so they brought you back every year, stuff like that. But, like, loads of it growing up was just, like, literally looking through the phone book and calling every single church.
Wow.
And just booking, that's how we booked, you know? Like,
did you start to find that there were certain types of churches that you would kind of look forward to, or that there was something about the vibe that like, appealed to you in a different way?
No, probably, you know, I think, you know, we were very lucky. Like, we had a lot of great experiences. We had some weird experiences. Like, one time we went to play a church that, you know, nobody knew. It was, like, a white supremacist church.
Oh, no.
And, like, it was awful. So we're, like, sitting there as a family, like, in this sermon, and my dad just, like, gets us up, and he's like, time to go. And we left. So, like, he realized what it was, and as soon as he realized what it was, we left.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, no, like, it was just crazy. It was like, you don't know what's going to happen. But that's, you know, how we were very poor growing up, and, like, so, like, that was, like, huge. It was, like, cool. If you play a church on Sunday, then most likely you're going to get fed because they're going to have potluck dinner, you know? So, like, that was a whole scene of, like, cool, you get a love offering. You know, you won't make much, but, like, you might make enough money to get to the next church and you'll get fed. So, like, I mean, there were a couple of things, you know, that we would look forward to. Like, there was one particular one in, like, Brownsville, Texas, that we, you know, I remember always liking that one better, probably because, like, they had a more creative, like, Sunday school, because we always had to go to that stuff, you know.
Also, I would imagine, like, depending on where you are at any given time, that certain seasons would be potentially more appealing to be out on the road and, like, you know.
It didn't matter. It didn't matter. We were out regardless.
Yeah.
We were out in blizzards. You know, and my dad was always underneath the van or motorhome fixing it in blizzards and rain or shine. We just, you know.
It was going to happen.
He was determined.
Yeah. Did you have much time to yourself? Did you find, I mean, first of all, it doesn't matter if you know, if you didn't want it, then no big deal. But were you the kind of kid who sort of had still an inclination to sort of get off and have a little time on your own?
Not at all.
Not at all.
I spent my first day without being with a sibling. I was 19.
Whoa!
Like, I was, wow, like, no, I didn't. I was like, no, I've never had, that's never been a thing. And because of that, being in a very super, super close family or whatever, I'm like, I don't do good alone here in the real world, here in adult life as it is now. I'm like, I would do much better living on a compound or in a commune type situation. And I'm like, I can barely hold it together by myself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how often
and also being, you know, very independent at the same time in ways.
Right.
You know, been extremely independent and, like, been, you know, on my own or supporting myself since I was 11. So I'm like, yeah, in those ways, yes. But, like, as far as, like, being, like, mentally sound and fit, like, here, wake up and feed yourself. Like, it's like, okay, cool. I still can't seem to manage that one.
Well, where is the rest of your family? I mean, are you guys still nearby? Are you still seeing a lot of them every day? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I always see each other all the time. I'll definitely see them later today. We play together a lot. My oldest sister lives in Toronto, but everyone else is, like, real close. I live, like, 5 houses down from my mother. And, like, we see each other a lot.
How many kids in the family? I should have asked that a long time ago, but it down 5. For us? Yeah.
5 in that gospel recording that I did. There was my boyfriend's brother and his band from praise and worship band, like, from Texas, his brothers. Like, they were in town, and he was, you know, doing a little record for them. It was so funny being around people like that, because, like, my dad's one of 13, and, like, the piano player in this band that came down from Texas, like, and I've met them before a few times, but he's, like, one of 12, and they grew up, like, you know, on a compound, super religious, just, like, so I was like, man, it was funny, like, I've been in it this week more than, like, I have in a long time, you know. So I was saying there are 5 of us, which is nothing compared to, you
13,
know,
12, yeah.
13 or 12, like, holy cow.
So did when you came into the picture, had your dad already, I mean, was it really sort of like as each kid came of age to be able to even hold an instrument? Was it like, here's what you're going to do? Or is it like, there was you and then there were 5 of you. And then it was like, guys, we're all going to start to play instruments.
Yeah. It was all at the same time, basically.
Gotcha.
But like he had a band with a couple of his brothers and his brother's wife. They had a bluegrass band, and he was so driven and determined, and he was more driven than all of them or any of the outfits that he was participating in. Like, my dad, like, he played with this band, the Kennedys. Like, he played on the Opry and stuff.
Wow.
Before I was born. So, like, he was, you know, he was, like, making his way in music, but he really did. He was just so determined, and he was from middle of Illinois, like way out in the sticks, and just like he just was like a he was a professional musician in a place, living in a place where there just wasn't many people doing that. So like I know that he just like in his like his band with his brothers and stuff, like they just never, I think that they weren't active enough. They were so good. They're great. And especially, like, my Uncle Mark and his wife, Lynn, like, they make beautiful music. She's a great songwriter, and, like, they're awesome. And like, you know, looking back now and seeing their band then, like, they were awesome. But I know he was just more serious about it than everyone else when his own troupe was, you know, old enough to play. But it just all kind of happened very quickly. I mean, it was like, you know, my brother is 7 years old, and he just, like, all of a sudden is, like, in 2 weeks, he's picked up the guitar, and now he's performing on stage. You know, and my brother is just, like, a unbelievable musician. Like, my dad, he lucked the fuck out. He just didn't. Like, that they could even, and they were 4, like, they were, like, the older ones, they had it way harder than I did. You know, they were forced to play to like riff-o-matics and metronomes and shit, like in CDs. Like they were just like, they were forced to play at a minimum of 8 hours a day, every day. Oof. And then just like, so like, it was like, you know, he was determined and anyway. Yeah.
But their relationship to music has stayed positive, yeah? Even through like those that sort of feeling of, because that's so,
absolutely,
yeah, that's what's so, I think, but fascinating.
Like, everyone has,
yeah,
issues, like,
right, right.
if you're like, you know, it's like, cool, like, that's the weird thing. It's so weird to do music. Like, you know, for me, I'm like, yeah, it's everything I've ever known. It's all I've ever done every day of my life.
Yeah.
But like, you know, also loving it, like, cause you could hate it or be bitter and never touch it again. Or like,
yeah,
but
exactly,
obviously it's too powerful in you. But like, there are times, like, for instance, if you're sick or something, you have to sing and you have to, because it's your profession and it's what you have to do at times. It's like, it can really, that's the stuff where it like strains on your heart and you, yeah, like get like bitter about stuff, is like, if you can't sing because you've had, you know, bronchitis or something, and then you have a show that you have to play because you just can't miss it or you can't cancel it or something, that's where it's like, that's bullshit and that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, you know, or like, if you have like negative bouts or you're in negative places and you have to perform, you know, music with like, just regardless, whatever, or whatever the situation is.
Yeah.
Like, it can be like, at those dark times, you do see people kind of like slip a little bit. You know, we've all done it, you know, where like you'll get like bitter about something and you don't want it to affect the music or taint the music, but if the situation's a bitter situation, it's just going to happen regardless, and that's where it sucks.
Right.
That's where it's like, you just want music to be such a positive thing, and it isn't always. And some people never see that.
Yeah.
You know, it's always positive for some people, or people that like are so extremely driven. Like, this town is full of people that got into music, they are so dedicated and driven, and they are going to be there. And then you've got the people that have been doing it their whole lives. It's like, yeah, I'm going to be there and I'm going to show up and I'm going to be happy to play. But like, I'm like, I admire your, you know, your whatever, your give a fuck, you know, because mine's hard to find sometimes.
Well, I mean, that's because that applies, right, to not just music, but anybody who has sort of, you know, it's like Venus and Serena, right? I mean, anything that your parent decides for you that is maybe considered a leisure activity by other people, or, you know, something, again, that you like, you would have to start that early to be that good, from the outside, there is that kind of mixed sense of kind of wonder, and I think also sympathy, right? Or you know, at its very worst, pity, which is kind of a useless thing for anyone to feel for anyone, because it doesn't do anyone any good. But
right.
But that sense of like, oh my God, how extraordinary that, you know, that something could be kind of driven into you, whether you wanted it to be there or not, and that it would still, I don't know. It's really fascinating to me, because you're absolutely right. You know, for someone, and I'm sure it does happen with some people, that just, they turn away from it and they're like, I just can't. This to me feels too much like, you know, a responsibility that, you know, I don't want it to feel like. But I think that getting to that place where you can sort, you can both acknowledge that, you know, to your point, especially about your siblings, like, you know, that wasn't really fair and it kind of sucked, like, theoretically, when you kind of look at it, it's like, that kind of sucks, or it really sucks. And yet, at the end of the day, your dad gets to point at your siblings and go, aha, but you still love music and you still love performing and you still love your instruments. Like, I must have been right.
Right, totally. Not as much as he still loves it. Just kidding, man.
No one will ever top him. Yeah. Well, what sense did you have of the kind of cultural outside world beyond what you guys were doing? I mean, did you guys, as you said, you didn't have money. So were you guys seeing, you know, were you watching television ever? Was there like a, oh my God, this is a rare occasion in which like everybody goes to see this movie or anything like that?
No. One time when we lived in Branson, someone gave us tickets to go see the IMAX. I don't remember the film, but I do remember that our friends, another family band, were in the preview for the movie.
What?
Yeah, so like, we went to the IMAX once as a family, but We didn't go to movies ever. Never. I never. That was the only movie I ever went to growing up. And we did not have a TV growing up. We were not allowed to watch TV or anything like that. We were not allowed to, like, have regular friends or, like, associate with, like, yes, you could socialize with people at the shows and stuff, of course, and talk to everyone. We were, like, trained to go and talk to every single person, shake every person's hand, and, you know, like, that type of thing. But, like, at the end of the day, we weren't allowed to socialize with people because they were worldly. You know, so we completely...
Even at the churches?
Absolutely.
Wow.
We lived in a box and didn't have outside friends. There was, like, you know, a couple people that we knew from, like, other homeschooled people, like, from Illinois or whatever. Or people, like, families we lived with in Texas, other homeschooled families, people that would take us in and, like, let us stay with them for extended periods of time and stuff. But, like, so I'm, like, I have no childhood friends. I have, like, you know, I'm friends with my aunts and uncles and stuff and people that were around at times. But, like, so, like, thankfully, and I'm, like, I'm always so grateful that, like, my dad left when he did, because for me, I'm, like, I was young. But, like, it was, like, it was just the best thing that ever happened, because we were able to somehow, like, unlike a lot of people that I know or grew up with, like, people, like, that are grow up so strict like that, sometimes they never come out of that, you know?
Mm.
And I'm so grateful that my family was able to, they're, you know, everyone is great and thriving, really.
When did that happen?
It wasn't like, oh, this happened. It was like my two oldest sisters, like my dad left, and like my sisters, when as soon as my sister Scarlett turned 18, which my sister Amber Dawn is 4 years older than her, but like Amber Dawn waited for Scarlett. Mm-hmm. So like, Amber Dawn stayed for Scarlett, and then as soon as the day Scarlett turned 18, they got an apartment in Nashville. They left. We were living, like, in Murfreesboro, like, 45 minutes down the road. And so, like, they got an apartment, and they were free, and my sister started playing on Broadway. Like, it was just like that.
Wow.
Like, and it was, like, cool. We had been socialized enough at, like, events and festivals and everything that was, like, but it was a slow, I mean, like, you know, like, my family was very backwards. We all know that everyone's very open about it. It's not like, oh, so-and-so still, you know, like, it's like, yeah, everyone was really screwed up and we got out of it.
Yeah.
Like another girlfriend of mine who we play with a lot, she, like, I worked with her yesterday morning, and then we ended up, like, chatting afterwards for a little while, and, like, she grew up in a straight cult in Mexico. Mexico and Arizona, and, like, she escaped in her 20s. I'm, like, from growing up, like, a homeschooler and stuff, like, I'm, like, I could smell it from a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, so, like, I've known this girl for, like, 10 years or something, and kind of, you know, and I've always known, like, little bits about it, but I didn't know, like, how much, and, like, just, like, finding out, like, it's, like, wow, like, that's amazing. You, like, literally escaped from a complete cult at 20 something, 21, 22 or something, you know, yeah. Like, that's just like, that's insane.
Yeah.
That's like, kudos, man.
Yeah.
You got out and you're normal. I'm doing quotations with my fingers.
Right.
Like,
yeah, totally.
You're like, you own your own house. You're surviving in the real world. Her siblings aren't, you know, she has a brother that's homeless and he's on the streets. He's schizophrenic and completely crazy and just a homeless person, you know? So yeah. It's like, it's such a fine line, like, of a balance of, like, can you snap out of it? Can you not? Like, you know, like, and I'm just, like, I'm so grateful that my family was able to, like, just, you know, through the people that we knew and that we met and everything, everyone was able to, like, remain balanced. And, you know, people, outsiders, you know, they look at us and they'll be like, they're not normal. They're kooky and weird or whatever. But, like, it's like, man, we are... where everyone's doing all right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What age were you? I know you said it didn't happen, like, it wasn't to your point, like, you woke up one day and everything was different. But what age were you when you did start having more and more contact with the outside world in terms of sort of like someone's talking about a band, and you actually have the opportunity to sort of hear what this band is like because it's so far outside of what you grew up listening to. Or, you know, someone's like, oh, you never saw blah, blah, blah. Listen, that's a classic. I think you'd really like it. And so you actually get to be like, I'm going to rent that movie. Like, when did your life start to sort of shape more in that direction?
It's funny. It's like, it's been a slow process. I think, like, you know, like after when my dad left, like it was like free reign, like everyone did whatever. My brother, most of my music and stuff that I got, I always just like listened to what other people are listening to. So like most of like the music and stuff that I listen to is like my brother Frank would like be playing something. And the same goes for today. I'm like, I don't seek out music. I'm not like, I really like, I just like kind of live in a bubble and I just like listen. I know like, I'm just like, I rely on other people kind of to like help me with music, like influence and stuff. Will be like, oh wow, I just don't have it in me to like go out and look, or maybe I will in 5 years, I don't know. But like it took me like ages and ages and ages to even get a TV. I've gone most of my life without a CD player or any listening devices or television or anything. I have one now. I'm like, I take someone else to like to put it on, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just like, you know, I still like hold myself back in a lot of ways, you know, but like, it's just whatever. It just is what it is.
Yeah. Well, were there things that you kind of started to recognize as you got older that you did that were, I mean, this sounds so simplistic and I really don't mean it like to be sort of overly like, and what do you like? Cause that's not,
right.
That's not what I mean at all. But,
right.
You know, I mean, listen, I'll use an example of my own because I think it's like, you know, sort of speaks to where I grew up, and it's a very specific dumb thing that a lot of people still like either grew up liking or don't like. But for example, like, you know, I grew up in Tucson, Arizona. Ain't nobody eating sushi in Tucson, Arizona. Like,
right.
No, you know what I mean? That was not a thing. And
right.
It wasn't until I moved to San Francisco, you know, when I was in my 20s, that's the kind of food where somebody has to, I mean, to me, I feel like somebody has to say, hey, come with me. I really like this. Like, I think you'll like it. I know it sounds weird that it's raw fish, but you know, here it is. And maybe now in today's world, like, yes, there are places you can get sushi in Tucson, but it was so far
right.
outside of,
right.
you know, what it would occur to me to even eat, that, you know, it was like, oh, I found out I like this thing, you know, in my mid 20s, kind of. Were
right.
there things like that, that you sort of, you know, you would be kind of exposed to and kind of go, wow, this is so outside of like everything I understood about, you know, who I quote unquote was growing up versus now. It's like, oh, I guess I got it. A, I can like this. B, I can have access to it. And now it's kind of folded into this sort of idea
right.
of who I am.
Right. I think, I remember, you know, it took me 5 times. My sister Amber Dawn had a friend who was a banjo player, Hide. He was from Japan, and he worked at our favorite restaurant, Ichiban, which is not with, it's no longer with us. They closed down a couple years ago, but they had a fire, but they, I remember that, like the first, going in, trying sushi for the first time, and I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated it for the first 5 times, and then, something changed and I loved it. But like,
it's so funny, isn't
we
it?
We were all like, I think like being such close friends as siblings and stuff, we were all very open-minded. We wanted to be open-minded so bad. And we grew up just not being able to be. But everyone kind of always like knew
yeah.
that our way wasn't
yeah.
wasn't the right way.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like, you know, that type of, but it was pretty, I was pretty young, which I'm grateful for. Like my sister, my oldest sister, poor thing. She was 24, you know, when she left the nest
yeah.
or whatever. Like it wasn't a nest. It was a shitstorm. But like, I remember like one time we were like busking for tips, playing downtown, playing for tips on the side of the street. And like, she had seen someone that she knew, a fellow like musician, a fellow bluegrass musician, whatever, some guy she had a crush on. And here she is, she's like 20 years old, 22 or something, you know?
Yeah.
And like, and I remember she got so embarrassed that we were playing for tips or whatever. So she she was like, I can't do this right now. Like, she was like, I don't want to play in front of that. I don't want this person to see me or whatever. Mm. And like, so it was like, well, this is how we're making money to eat today. So anyway, she like, I remember she like quit playing for whatever, 10 minutes or something, you know what I mean? But she didn't get to eat because she was being rebellious or whatever, you know? Yeah, so like, yeah, she didn't get to eat that day. So, you know, it was just like, boy, like, I'm so glad that, you know, like,
yeah. Yeah.
But she, you know, yeah, also like them being cool. They were always cool. My sisters were cool. And they basically like raised me.
I bet they were protective of you. I was thinking like they must have wanted to do whatever they could, but have been limited to, and like even, you know, how much they could kind of take care of you.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun.
Welcome back to Fireside Chat on KMAX. With me in studio to take your calls is the dopest duo on the West Coast, Oliver Wong and Morgan Rhodes. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm looking for a music podcast that's insightful and thoughtful, but like also helps me discover artists and albums that I've never heard of.
Yeah, man. Sounds like you need to listen to Heat Rocks every week. Myself, and I'm Morgan Rhodes, and my co-host here, Oliver Wong, talk to influential guests about a canonical album that has changed their lives.
Guests like Moby, Open Mike Eagle, talk about albums by Prince, Joni Mitchell, and so much more.
Yo, what's that show called again?
Heat Rocks, deep dives into hot records.
Every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Well, I want to get into this MASH game with you. And if you've never listened to the podcast, which I am fully prepared to be the truth, I guarantee you, you also probably don't know what this is, because it is such a like indoctrinated, school, childish, kind of materialistic game that I will just say, I'm basically, what I'm going to ask you is I'm going to ask you for three answers for every one of these little categories that I give you. And you can just give answers kind of off the top of your head. I mean, I didn't prepare you for this, so I don't expect you to be like, oh yes, I know exactly what my favorite X, Y, and Z are. It's sort of just like how you're feeling in the moment. And then we play, and then we just do this little thing where in the end, your alternate reality self has all of these different things that we've given you in this game. And it's just kind of a way of ending the podcast on a fun note. So I will do all the heavy lifting except for just the stuff that you're going to add in that makes you happy. So for example, for the first one, I'm going to say let's start with three places in the world, whether you've been there or not, that it seems like it would be wonderful to just be able to kind of disappear into, and whether it's lying on a beach or wandering around a city, time that's your own. It could be with your family. I'm not making you go by yourself by any stretch of the imagination, but but places that, you know, that you'd love to just like decompress.
Bisbee, Arizona.
Dude.
I love it.
Me
favorite,
too.
Favorite place.
My dad writes books about ghost towns and mining camps. So I spent so much time in Bisbee growing up and all the places around it, like Ruby, all these ghost towns.
That's so cool.
I love that you love Bisbee. That for me was
my
first
favorite.
Well, that's why I think I love San Francisco so much, which I don't know if I've ever said on the podcast before, but Bisbee and the hills and the little like kooky houses with all these hidden staircases.
Yeah.
Like, I think that like buried itself in my psyche so early that
totally,
when I went
man.
To San Francisco, I was like, a giant Bisbee.
Right. Totally.
Love it. I
and
love
same
it.
And San Francisco is a special place too.
Right.
Like, I don't think I could live there personally.
Yeah.
But like, we were just there. Like, we've been there a couple times in the last couple months, and just like, it's always awesome. It's such a cool town.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bisbee is amazing. Also, the town where I'm like, my family's originally from in Illinois, it's like that too. Illinois is flat, but like this part of Illinois is rolling hills.
Yeah.
Cornfields and like rolling hills is beautiful.
That's awesome.
But like Galena, Illinois, it's this little historic town built in the hills and just like crazy staircases to
yes.
all these houses. It's the same thing. It's weird and like artsy and But anyway.
I'll have to go.
Yeah, that's so cool. I was like, ooh, you're from Tucson. Yeah, awesome.
Absolutely.
I love it out there.
I love that. Okay, so we got Bisbee. Does Galena make it on the list, or do you want to do, are there two more?
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, too cold, not for me.
Great.
So I would say I love, like, Mexico. I just love Mexico. We grew up going to Mexico as children and spending so much time in Texas. We crossed the border a lot and just, like, different areas and everything. So I'm like, okay, put me anywhere there. I love the culture so much, but also I'm a cheapskate. And I'm like, I just hate how expensive everything is today in today's world and here and everywhere. It's not right. So I'm just like, it rubs against me. I hate it.
I get that.
So I'm like, any place where I could, like, go and, like,
you get more for your buck.
Where you can get groceries and it's, like, actually affordable.
Yeah.
So I'll take that. But, like, I would say, like, that and maybe, like, you know, South America or something.
Great. Okay, awesome. Okay, next category, let's do three. This is one that I always have to add in. Let's do three foods. It could be as specific as, like, this one brownie that you had somewhere once and you were like, why don't all brownies taste like this? Or it could just be like pizza, delicious, love it. Or in the case of me, which I think you'll relate to, like guacamole or tacos, like I'm pretty much good to
always.
Go. If I could eat that all day, every day. So in this alternate reality, you can have the best version at snap of your finger with zero ramifications. You're never going to feel sick after. You're never going to be like, how many goats were killed to make this thing? So three foods.
Potatoes is number one.
Great.
Regular old potatoes, beans, limes. Potatoes, beans, and limes. I'll be satisfied
potatoes,
forever.
Beans,
avocados,
limes, I
though.
Love it. I know.
But that's it. That's what I live on.
Oh my God. This is an amazing list. This is truly the most amazing food list I've ever received. Okay. Next category. Let's do three musicians. It could be classical. It could be a band. It could be one singer-songwriter, living or dead throughout time, that, and perhaps use this in a way that it's like, this is your opportunity to do it with people that you probably can't because they are already gone or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm being so bossy about it's your MASH game. You pick whoever you want. But three musicians that it would be amazing to collaborate with.
Ray Charles.
Great.
Vassar Clements, who I actually met as a child and knew as a kid, but I would love to now.
Great.
And Waylon. Probably.
There you go.
Like, Waiters, Waylon, yeah.
Jennings, great.
And, like, there's so many. There's Jazz, Django Reinhardt, those cats. I'd love to hang out with those guys for a, you know, if I could be a fly on the wall.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. Okay, what about tomorrow? You could potentially wake up with one of these three things. It's a gift. It's a talent. It's a skill. Something that you right now don't necessarily have or can't do well that tomorrow you could wake up with and sort of have downloaded all the information into your brain. Like, oh, I suddenly know how to do, in the case of the movie The Matrix, Kung Fu. But anything like that.
Okay, sewing.
Great.
Horses.
Great.
And ice skating.
Oh, I've never been ice skating. I've never been skiing. I've never been ice skating. It's the biggest cliche of someone from the desert you've ever heard.
Right. Love it.
The best.
I don't get to.
I'll just tromp around.
But I want to.
I mean, listen, once I get up in the snow, I don't want to do anything planned because I'm so excited just to crunch around in it that I'm like,
totally.
I'm good. Like, I don't need to strap on skis.
Right, totally.
Okay, next category is, all right, so part of this MASH game is the sort of like romance side of our imagination. So three people that, again, living or dead, could be a character from a book, could be a actor who played a part in a movie, and you're just talking about that character. But three people that it would be fun to have either sexy times or like romantic couple times with in this alternate universe we're building.
This will be the first time I've ever even thought about or answered anything like this. I'm like, I always steer clear of this area of thought.
Well, let me just give you some insight into what people have said in the past to show you how wide open this category is. I mean, I've had people say, and this is one of my favorite answers, and it has been said more than once, the Fox Disney cartoon Robin Hood. Like, we're talking about a, right. Yeah, a Robin Hood who's a literal cartoon fox. So it's so,
they so had
wide
a thing
open.
For, what's his, Roger Miller.
Yeah, I guess, okay. I guess that's it.
Right. I mean, I'm going to go with, like, Don Knotts because I know it would be fun.
Couldn't love this answer more. I live in the comedy world, and I definitely agree.
Yeah, I'm like, it's going to have to be somebody fun.
Yeah.
So somebody who else who could take me horseback riding?
Ooh, good question.
Let's, well, actually, okay, here. It's from, it's a character. His name is Khan from a show called 5 Mile Creek. It was an Australian television show.
Great.
That nobody I've ever mentioned it to seems to know what I'm talking about.
But yeah.
Khan.
Khan from 5 Mile Creek.
He was my imaginary boyfriend when I was a kid.
I love it. Perfect. I just need one more. You're doing so great. Khan Don and someone else that rhymes with Don.
Lucille Ball.
Oh, dude. Absolutely.
Take me out. Take me out, Lucy.
Absolutely. I love it. Fantastic. Okay. Next category is... let's do three. Now, listen, now I'm really going to stretch your creative muscles. Three, and these can be joke answers or they can be legit answers or any combination thereof. Three shows, like three big splashy shows in Branson that do not exist, but you invent them.
Yeah, we should have one. Definitely. I definitely dream of this stuff. It's these are real visions for me.
I love it.
I would definitely have like a barn, the brand, and I'll say this now, but I mean it. I'm going to do it one day. The Brand New Opry. So we'll have
great.
That. That'll be one.
Great.
We could have like a swing dance one.
Oh, nice.
Like big band.
Yeah.
And maybe like, I've only have two.
Boy, those are really solid.
Yeah. Like barn times and like swing in a dance, like a real dance.
Great. No, I just put barn times also as a separate one.
Cool. Okay, cool.
That involves more like people
a Marty
dressed
Robbins
up.
Tribute.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, great. We're almost done, so do not fear. Next category is any fictitious creature or existing creature that you didn't get to have as a pet, that in this alternate universe it's all good, it could be as big or small as you want. Three possible fantasy pets.
I've always wanted a raccoon.
Oh, dude, you and I are sisters for life now, because I feel that I am a raccoon, and I know a lot of people hate raccoons. Nice. I if they stop listening to my podcast, so
man,
be it.
I love them.
Oh,
they're so cool.
They're so smart.
I'd take fox.
Great.
I would love to have a pet fox.
Yeah, totally.
And I'll take a pig.
Great.
Oh, fox, R. raccoon, R. and a pig.
R.I.P. To your cute pig, your nameless pig. Okay. And then last one. So this is a category that a listener of the podcast named Shannon that I have since become friends with. She's my pen pal. I've never met her in real life, but she sent me a series of emails that felt like it was one of those like old time pen pal moments where I was like, oh,
that's
you
awesome.
you are my friend. I don't know you, but now I know you right. and you're my friend. So right. she was just writing me saying that a fun MASH category would be. So sometimes when I do the podcast, if someone's talking about like, oh, and yeah, and then my sixth grade teacher, like, she was just so amazing and I learned so much from her, and so I'll do this stupid bit where I go, well, we have a surprise for you, Mrs. blah blah blah, could you come in please, which is total bullshit. So it's a bad bit, a bad joke, but her version is, it's the category of, what if I had been able to create a surprise visitor for you, like right now, where there are three people that you would be so excited, whether it's from your family, anything, that if I was like, oh my God, we have a surprise for you, please welcome. And that would be three people. Who?
Ronnie Millsap, Waylon Jennings again.
Great. I like this because you've increased your chances of getting him.
Patsy Cline.
Great.
How about that?
Great. Great, great. Okay. Pick a number between 1 and 7.
7.
Okay, great. While I do this, Would you mind telling the lovely people listening where they can hear your music? Anything else that you would like to tell them about that they should know about, that they can, that, so that they can enjoy other creative products of your beautiful brain?
Well, thank you so much. You can listen on Spotify. You can listen on YouTube. you can purchase the album from Third Man Records, where I'm sitting right now.
Nice.
Come down to Layla's if you're in Nashville.
Is that where you play regularly?
Yeah, we've been playing there about 15 years, and we always have a good time down there. It's a family-friendly bar situation, you know?
Oh, cool.
But, like, it's fun. Good times there.
Yeah.
Digital listening platforms, I can't even say. I'm like, Spotify is the only thing that's coming to mind at the moment. SoundCloud.
I can't believe this turned
SoundCloud?
Into... Now you're just having to answer, like, as if I've quizzed you about every possible place to listen to something. That feels cruel and unusual, and I did not mean to subject you to that. So, the good news is I have finished your MASH results.
Cool.
I can tell you I'm very pleased, very, very pleased indeed with how this has all turned out. So, first of all, I want to let you know that, you know, of course, you had two categories in which you named a certain Waylon Jennings. I want to let you know that we have a surprise for you, because Waylon Jennings is waiting right outside that door as soon as we finish the podcast. So listen, you got yourself some Waylon Jennings, but in the other category of people you can collaborate with, you got Vassar Clements, which I think is also fantastic.
Yes.
So, big congratulations on that. I don't know if both of those people are going to be performing with you during our Barn Times Branson, Missouri big show. But I certainly hope so. What I like about this too is that you now are an expert horse rider and have like amazing connection with horses. So I want the horses to be treated beautifully. So if they don't want to be a part of this barn show, that's fine. But just know that there's a real tie-in happening here with the horses as well. right. I'm sure you're going to be eating other things, but I want you to rest assured that you will have in perpetuity limes at your disposal whenever you need them. Some delicious limes. You are going to be experiencing all of these good times with none other than Khan from Five Mile Creek.
Nice.
Did he have an Australian accent? I guess it was an Australian show. He probably did.
I reckon. I don't even remember.
Yeah. I'm guessing.
Nicole Kidman was in it.
Oh, my God. Okay, I got to look this up.
She had like super long, dark red curly hair and shit.
Yeah, she really did. When you see her as a young person, you're like, oh my God, the effort you must go to straighten out those beautiful curls. Like, I guess people just want what they don't have, I guess. But yeah.
Yep, don't we all?
Seriously. So these last three I've saved because I am very, 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 very happy about them, which is, so MASH, which is the name of this game, stands for mansion, apartment, shack, or house. And again, by virtue of like an
eeny-meeny
thing. Well, listen, you did get the shack. I feel like that's what is appropriate for Bisbee, Arizona. Like, what are you going to do? Live in a mansion? That's gross.
Right.
You
totally.
Know, like you want to have this like,
I'm a
like,
check kind of gal.
So I just imagine like the sun setting and like you like bring in your groceries home, like walking up these crazy hidden steps that are like at a weird angle and like going up and going into your little shack and like you have a window that looks out of the sunset. I just see it in my head so clearly. And I'll tell you who else is waiting for you there? Your pet raccoon. Yeah.
Nice.
That's
awesome.
I'm so happy.
I love it.
I'm so happy. Thank you so much for doing the podcast. I'm so glad we were able to do it remotely. And I really hope you feel better soon. Because again, I know when I'm sick and I have a cold, it's hard for me to like A, focus and B, talk. So I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. That's so sweet.
Yeah. I hope we get a chance to meet in person. I've only been in Nashville once.
Hell
so
yeah.
Now when I go back, I'll track you down.
Awesome. Well, next time we're out there,
please,
I'll let you know.
Please, please, please. Really, for reals, please.
Heck yeah.
I will hold you
absolutely
to that. Okay, cool. All right.
Awesome.
And the rest of everybody, I'll talk to you next time on the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
The show is recorded by me and edited by Julian Burrell. And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.